Praise the Lord.
I want to look at tonight for a few minutes. 1 Peter 3rd chapter. And I'm going to also, since we are looking at our Old Testament scriptures tonight, I'm going to look at Job, which you're very familiar with. And 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to look, first of all, let's see. Actually, to mention it's an unnatural. First, let's look at the chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 17. Then I'm going to go back to 14. And also in 1 Peter, we're going to look at 4 and 12. And we're just going to talk about going through things and how they and why they happen. And I want to look at Job, the first chapter, and one last scripture as you write them down. You should have 1 Peter 3 and verses 17 and 14 in that order, and 1 Peter 3, verse 4 and 12, and Colossians 1, and finally, Job chapter 1. And everybody's familiar with the sufferings of Job and going through. I want us to be encouraged tonight, because when you look at the sufferings that Christ went through, one thing that we need to, it says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And suffering in many cases means simply enduring, or, you know, suffer me for a little while means put up with me or listen to me for a little while. It doesn't mean pain. And other times, suffering does mean pain, and it means discomfort. And it, and so the word is used in both ways. And sometimes when Jesus talks about suffer, he uses the word suffer as in suffer the little children come unto me. Mm-hmm. He means allow them to, or permit them to. And then when he says, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me, he's referring to them, if you will go through with me, if you will go along with me, suffer me a little while. In other words, humor me, and put up with me, listen to me. In that regard, not just nails in your hands, because most of us are never going to have nails in our hands.
No.
We would, and God already knows, there are very few people now as there were in the Bible days. There are not many people who are martyrs.
No,
you're right.
They're not. There weren't many then, and they're not many now.
No.
You see Stephen, Peter, Paul, and all of them. Who suffer in the way that they suffer, rather than renounce God. God knows who has the strength of spirit and will not to renounce him.
Yes.
You torture most of us enough today, especially with the evil that they torture people with today. And today, they torture people in some evil ways, because not only do they torture them, but they don't allow them to lose consciousness. Mm-hmm. The body has built in, you know, shock. You know, the body goes into shock so that you don't suffer. Yeah. It's really a God-given mechanism that your body goes into shock so that you don't suffer. Mm-hmm. And these days, when they torture people, they don't allow them to do that. They make sure they feel it. It's like hell.
Yes.
You know, you're suffering in hell, but you can't lose consciousness.
Consciousness, yes.
So, you know, don't worry about it. God's not going to ask you to suffer unto death in that regard. You know, if you stay saved, you may suffer a horrible death if you leave God, but you're probably not going to suffer a horrible death for God. So don't be afraid, because God already knows that most of us, it's enough just to keep us saved as is.
Yes.
Keep us going in peacetime. And few little woes and things we go through are almost enough to pull us out of God. So we're not worried about having a situation where we really go through it, where we really go through in God. In Job, the book of Job, it talks about verse number 6. Talks about Job, and since most of us, the Indians on the night, El Jenkins on the night, we all know about Job. We know who he was. He was the richest man in the East during that time. His kids, you know, he prayed for his kids every day. He loved God. And he was very faithful. In verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, meaning the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, being a fallen angel, but being allowed to come and go. Someone said one time that Satan was chained up in hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. He still goes to and fro throughout the earth. Matter of fact, the Bible says he does. And the Lord said, Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. And from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now I want us to know, in our own fashion, the Lord permits us to go through some trials to show people how people of God go through. One of the most frequent ones is the death of loved ones. I don't know of any other way that we as saints of God or saved people, I don't know of any other way that we suffer as often to show people how to go through in a godly fashion as we suffer losing loved ones in death. Because there are not many other trials, really, that we don't have some control and some part in that God allows to come in our lives. For the most part, we can be subjected to some ridicule on our jobs for the cause of Christ, and you know whether or not you're being persecuted for Christ or not, because at some point in time, if on your job you're being persecuted for Christ's sake, not for your own, but for Christ's sake, not because you're overweight, not because you're late, not because you're this, not because you're that. If you're being persecuted for Christ's sake, at some point in time, your job will impact your spiritual life.
Yes.
You know, your work schedule will change. This will do it. That will do it. You'll have some person on your job that's just so evil and unclean and just loves to see how profane they can be around you all day long. Those kind of things. You'll be subject to those kind of things for the gospel's sake. But if indeed in your work you're in Christ, but you have an arrogance about you or some little attitude about you that makes you not be in harmony with the people you're working with, you will probably suffer, but that's not for Christ's sake.
No.
Because if Christ would have his way in your life, you would get along with everybody. Mm. They might not get along with you, but you get along with them. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It didn't say he makes his enemies love him. He said he makes them be at
peace
with him. So Job is a special case. One of many special cases, like Stephen, like all the 12 apostles, like Jesus, and certainly Jesus, wherein the devil comes in and his only reason for coming against Job is because the Lord allows him to show how faithful Job is to God. And God, of course, rewards Job double at the end. And at the same time, God also rids Job of some problems, because he gets rid of these worrisome kids who won't act right. And, you know, God always works things out for the good to them that love him. And so Job goes through. Now, a few things about Job. One of them is Job doesn't suffer for a million years. He only suffers for a few months. And during all of this, when you read the book of Job, you find out not only does Job suffer because he's going through with the devil, but he suffers with the people of God who don't understand him. And I'm not sure which one hurts the most, to suffer because, you know, you're losing everything and this is going haywire or whatever, or to have the people of God come and accuse you of being wrong because you're suffering. Must be something wrong with them. Every time I look at them, and I hear people say it, but every time I see them, they're going through, there must be something wrong with them. Maybe they have more faith in God than you. And maybe God's allowing them to be trialed in ways that you can't take. You know, there are a lot of people who will say almost anything they want to people, but you know what? They can't stand for you to say anything about them.
Yeah, that's true.
They cannot take it. Yes. It's just, you know, I throw it out there, but I can dish it out, but I can't take it.
Take it, right.
And God knows who they are, too. If you never learn to go through a trial in the spirit and in the way of God, you remain a babe forever.
Yes.
You remain a babe forever.
Right.
And any discomfort, the reason why you have discomfort is because the earth is filled with discomfort.
Mm.
Just being on earth since Adam and Eve fell in the garden is uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable, yes.
And trials come every day simply because of the fall in the garden. There is discomfort. We can't do anything about thunderstorms and lightning storms and tornadoes and hurricanes. We can't do a thing about them. The only thing we can do is get out of their way.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't stop them. We can't turn them. We can't hinder them. The only thing we can do with the forces of nature, no, with the earth in sin.
Yeah.
Earth travailing in sin. The only thing we can do is get out of their way. We can't do a thing about earthquakes.
Nope.
The only thing we can do is just pray that we survive them.
Yes.
Tornadoes, there's nothing we can do about a tornado. We just have to pray that we survive it.
Yes.
And then we work it out. So there's always been discomfort and things in the earth that are not favorable, and there always will be. Is there something wrong with you?
Me?
Yes, you.
I'm just touching.
Okay. Lord, touch him in Jesus' name. There always will be, including the diseases of this body that none of us ask for. Now, if you're silly enough to go around doing COVID without a mask, you're kind of asking for it.
Yes.
Although you didn't invite COVID. But, you know, nobody asked for cancer.
No.
You know, and nobody asked for all these internal diseases and things we get. Well, if you smoke, you probably do.
Yeah,
you probably ask for cancer. If you lay out in the sun all the time and you burn and do all this, you know, you're probably, not taking care of yourself and you kind of invited it in. But for the most part, we don't ask for those things. Nobody asks for the flu. Those things come. That's just in there. So why does God allow us to be tried sometimes? Because we have to learn how to go through the woes of the earth and still live in and still be in God.
Yes.
And in Job, you find out, yes, it is the devil fighting Job, but the people who come against Job and attack Job, they are supposed to be Job's friends.
Yeah.
And they really just put the man on trial and just really go through and really accuse him of, and they just can't, they don't see themselves as being in the earth like he is, and they just, really go through with Job. And that's part of Job's trial. And in all of that, Job will not say a word against God. And Job will not let them batter him into saying that he's been in sin, because he hasn't been.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. You know, let nobody beat you into admitting you're into sin when you're not.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you get up and y'all, you say whatever. But so Job has that. So when we look at 1 Peter, he lets us know when we look at 1 Peter. He says in 17, for it is better, 1 Peter 3 and 17, it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for doing for well doing than for evil doing. It's better if the reason why the people on my job don't like me is because I am doing good, I'm in God, then they don't like me because I'm just a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
It's better if I have a difficult time in school because I'm in God. Now, and this is understanding also, just because you're in God doesn't mean you can't still be a jerk. You can be a jerk without that.
You got that right.
Yes.
You can act the monkey fool and call it God.
Yes.
You know, y'all can't tell me nothing. I got one master in my life, and that's God.
Yeah.
Can't nobody tell me nothing but God. I've heard people say, there's a show on TV says, about the dumbest criminals, dumbest everything else. They should have one about the dumbest saint. Because, I want everybody to understand this. People will say to me sometimes, I'm doing something, and they'll say to me, you're going to be all right. I say, well, thank you so much for that. That's encouraging. There is nothing more arrogant than for somebody to say to you, you're going to be all right. You say, I know I'm going to be all right because God done told me. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
They need to never tell you. They need to never try and comfort you again.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what they were doing was reaching out to you in compassion.
In compassion. Yes.
And you have your arrogance about you're not doing well. And when people reach out to you, I know I'm going to do all right because God done told me. Well, then fine. You don't need anybody else to say anything else to you.
To you, yes.
Because you, when people extend their hand to compassion, there's nothing wrong with allowing somebody to say to you, well, I pray the Lord to be with you. And you say, well, thank you very much. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
That's the same thing as somebody said, you look really nice. I know I look nice. You ain't got to tell me.
Yeah. People do.
The answer is, thank you.
Yes.
I'm praying the Lord to be with you.
Yes.
Thank you. You're going to be all right. The Lord's going to really work things out for you. You know, the Lord, you know, I know God, and I'm sure the Lord's going to work things out for you. Well, thank you so much for the encouragement. The Lord told me to. I can live with that. But, oh, I know the Lord's going to work things out for me, because He always does. He always has. You know what happens? You know what I say to myself when people say that? Then okay, it'll be a long time before I try and encourage you again. And I just watch you struggle. Because this is the reason why the Bible says that we need to be courteous and kind, because we entertain angels unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Angels are messengers of God.
Yep.
And when you act like that, God is sending people. And although you put on a big facade that everything's all right and this and that and the other, in the midnight hour when you're all by yourself, since you're human, you worry like the rest of us.
Yes.
And if you got to the point where you don't worry about anything, you should be one spiritually powerful person.
Right, yeah.
When you got, because I mean, you know, if Jesus is in the garden
crying out
for the Spirit to see him through,
yeah,
you act like you're stronger than Jesus. Yeah. You don't need anybody to say anything to you.
Yes. Amen.
So he says in this, it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. In other words, it's better to be in the will of God, that if you're in the earth and you're suffering, it's because you're godly and not because you're a criminal. Because he goes on and says it in another place. Oh, let's look at the other one down here in 12. I mean, 4 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is to be glorified. He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. In other words, and when he says down here, list these things as a murderer and as a thief, also John says that if you hate people and don't love your brother, you're not killing anybody, but he says you are a murderer. And when he talks about a thief, he's not just talking about stealing money. He's also talking about when you steal the peace, when you take things away that you shouldn't take away.
Yes.
And he gets to that. He says, we're not supposed to ever be someone who's suffering because we've done that. If you're in jail because you're in prison, the lady had a great testimony of living down last weekend, and she talked about she told us what the crime she committed and the time she did in jail and everything like that. Well, you know, those are the kind of testimonies that you can tell when the Lord says, tell them.
Yes.
But, you know, if somebody tells you that in confidence, don't get up in public and tell them, come tell your testimony. I told you that in confidence.
Confidence, yes.
The proper answer to that would be for them to stand and say, I'm not ready to do that right now.
Yeah.
If anybody ever puts you on the spot about your testimony, you're not ready to give it, you know what you say to them?
Yes.
Thank you very much, but I'm not ready. I'm not comfortable doing that right now.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
And I don't care who it is.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care who it is. If somebody calls you, come give your testimony, and you're not comfortable giving it, you know what you need to say? I'm not ready to do
that. Yes.
And then if they decide they're going to testify, well, then I tell it then. Make sure you don't ever tell them anything else.
Yes, that's right.
You ain't going to tell your testimony. I'll tell your testimony for you. Make sure you don't ever tell that person
anything else.
Yes. Ever. So he says in this, but if he suffer as for righteousness' sake, and I'm in 1 Peter now, back in 3 and 14 now. For righteousness' sake, happy are ye, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, because the Lord is going to deliver you. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that is, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. In other words, he says, you should be able to tell the people the reason why I'm doing it. So you know you're really having a hard time, and then you turn around and you say, well, I'm going to be all right. Because the Lord's going to see me through.
Yes.
I'm going to be all right because the Lord's going to see me through. Now, that's different than if somebody says to you, the Lord's going to see you through, and you say, I know I am. No, let people comfort you. Let people comfort you.
Yep, yes.
Because, believe me,
you
if you won't let people comfort you, you don't know how to comfort others.
Yeah, all that's right. Yes.
If you're the kind of person people can't comfort you, you don't know how to comfort others.
Yeah.
And when you get ready to tell people, God's going to do such and such with you, you do it with the same attitude that you receive it when people try and comfort you. And it comes off abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
People can tell when you have genuine concern and when you're just trying to be deep.
Yeah.
They know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
When you are genuinely concerned about them, and when you're just trying to put your preacher badge on and go out here and just boast. Even when I'm in the pulpit, even when you're trying to encourage people from the pulpit, there has to be genuine concern. You're not trying to just boast about how comforting you could, how many words of encouragement you can give.
Yes.
It has to be the right words, given with grace and truth. So he says in this, in having a good conscience, I read that. Verse 18, but Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ has already shown us how to suffer, the just for the unjust. In other words, anytime I'm being persecuted and I'm doing it for righteousness' sake, I'm right and whoever's persecuting me is wrong.
Yes, yes.
Anytime I'm trying to do the will of God and someone comes against me in church, out of church, around church, beside church, nowhere near church, whatever it is, when I am right in God and you have something negative to say about me or to me, I am right and you are wrong.
Yes.
I'm just and you are unjust.
Yes.
And Christ showed us, because the biggest persecutors of Christ was the church.
Yes.
And they were the unjust, in his case, serving supposedly the same God.
Right. Yes.
So whenever, you know, and this is another thing too. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Don't ever be afraid to call things that are right, right. When you see somebody suffering an injustice, don't put up with it just because the person doing the injustice is somebody sitting in a high position.
Yeah,
that's right.
When they're wrong, they're just wrong.
Yes.
And maybe you're not in a position where you can say anything to them, and you probably don't want to talk about them, and you probably shouldn't. But in your heart of hearts, you ought to be able to say to yourself, but that was wrong.
Wrong, yes.
If you never speak to it, never say it to another living soul, for fear of, one, you don't want to rally, you don't want to start no commotion, you don't want to start a riot, you don't want to start a lot of things, but don't ever, the Bible talks about us being true to ourselves. When you see somebody who's doing something that is wrong, maybe you're not in a position to correct it, maybe you're not in a position to comment about it or anything else, and maybe it's just between you and God, but when they are wrong, they are wrong.
Yes, yes.
And don't ever try to talk yourself into their being right,
mm-hmm.
simply depending on what their name is.
Yes, right. Yes.
When they're wrong, they're wrong. And God will get them right just like anybody else.
Yes, yes.
Because when you're wrong, you're just wrong.
Yes, yes.
Whoever it is, and the sooner they come to that, the sooner they can repent and get right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't be aiding and abetting people when they're wrong now.
That's right.
You know, one thing I will say, I told somebody this, one thing I can say, and on this, I can boast about me. When I'm wrong, I don't let my friends come along and pretend that I'm right.
Right, yes. Yeah, you can't do that.
I don't let them do that. I don't let anybody, when I'm wrong, I don't let the people get around me and hold me up as being right, and I know myself I'm wrong.
Yes.
That's a misuse of your friends. You let your friends be part of that hypocrisy.
Yeah.
When you know you're not right, you're letting them, you know, go off and talk and do all these things and uphold you when you know you yourself are wrong.
Yes.
Oh, that's not fair to your friends.
No,
at the very least, you can say to them, okay, no, you know, all right, I kind of brought this on myself. Y'all just settle down.
Yeah.
I brought this on myself. I'll be all right. You know, don't worry about it. You know, leave it alone. I'll work it out with God and go on. Because he says that for Christ has once suffered for us and has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but quickened in the spirit. Christ suffered that when we are wrong, he might bring us to God, that we would die in the flesh, that the flesh would die. The idea is that all about me that's not right should die.
Yeah.
And that we would be justified in God. We would be raised in God. If you take my side when I'm wrong, you're not letting me die.
Yeah.
You need to let me die. You need to let what's not right about me needs to die.
Yeah.
To uphold me and justify me when God knows I'm wrong and worthy of death, that needs to happen so that God can quicken me or give me life in the spirit.
Yeah.
The flesh has to die so that the spirit can have life. There are things in the flesh that really must die. There's things about us and things, you know, that we go through and what we do, they really must die. And the Lord will let us suffer sometimes to see them if we will let it. In our environments and in the places we work and the people we come into and different things. And I haven't even gotten around to the devil yet, and I'm going to get around to him in a minute. just in those, the Lord will let the people wear us out from time to time just to show us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Many times you'll talk about, well, that person sure was nasty. It was you were looking in a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you are.
Yeah.
And the Lord will allow people, you know, they ain't got no patience. You're looking in a mirror.
Yes.
You don't have any either.
Yes.
And the Lord is letting you see that you have no patience. You're looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a person who can point out everybody's faults and know nothing about themselves.
Yes.
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And then Zechariah, and we're done. Colossians chapter 1. About verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to the Father which has made us meet, which means fit, qualified us. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. In other words, everlasting life is given to the saints who have the light of the gospel. This is given to us. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Timaeus is always asking me all the time, would you like to be teleported? And we talk about teleporting home and teleporting there and teleporting there. The very idea in science fiction comes from God being able to translate people from place to place.
Yes.
Otherwise, it'd be beyond that. I'm sure that if it wasn't for God and the thought and God being able to translate us and for us to move in God, the thought of a person teleporting would have never entered anybody's mind.
That's right.
It's contrary to our material, our substantive makeup. To be able to be teleported, break down in the cell, you know, and they try to explain it on sci-fi, but really God has a monopoly on that. Either he does it or nobody does.
Yes.
So he says, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom that we're in, and this is where we get the point of being inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we sing the song, brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes. Y'all really want to be in the light. Y'all really want to walk in the light.
Yes.
And we all want as much light as we can get.
Yes.
When we study Watchmanee and we study Love Not the World, he makes the point that sticks out to me so well. The only thing that is of God comes from God.
Yes.
And only what comes from God will God receive. And light comes from God. Jesus is the light. And when he talks about it, means the light means now I can see. Things are revealed. I'm no longer in darkness. And we ought to not want to be in any more darkness about ourselves than we are. It isn't, and I've seen people who want discernment. They want the gift of discernment. I've seen people brag about having the gift of discernment. And I can say to myself, you don't have much discernment because you haven't discerned you. You can't discern others and not discern yourself. If you have the gift of discernment, then one person you can surely see is you. No sermon that God gives me, no word that God gives me, if he gives me a word, how do I give you a word and not receive it first myself?
Yes, that's right.
And any discernment that comes to me in the spirit and intuitively to me, how can I read you out there when the spirit doesn't reveal me to me?
Right, yeah. That's so true.
And the danger of it is that we're forever letting, evil spirits and different spirits will come from time to time and imitate the spirit. Sometimes what some people consider discernment is no more than the spirit of criticism. Because when you have discernment from God, now doesn't always, it's not always bad. It also discerns good.
Yes, that's true.
And he knows when things are right.
Yes.
And God knows in my own history, and I'm moving on, I've seen enough things go on that I know about. And I've watched people get up and even prophesy about them. I knew when they were prophesying they had no discernment because I knew the truth and what they were prophesying was not.
That's right.
It's a scary thing. So why didn't you tell us? Because the Spirit told me not to. It would not have helped things. It wouldn't have made things better. The Holy Ghost said they won't listen anyway.
Yeah.
I told you. Sometimes you just have to be. No, you don't. You know, the Spirit says you're right. You're right. But that doesn't mean that everything comes to your mind is right.
That's right.
But you know what the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost said it. He says, "Translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son." In other words, when the Lord saves us, we move from one kingdom to another.
Yes.
It is an actual move. Minister Williams was preaching, Elder Williams was preaching this weekend about being born again, which was good and Elder Lucky. And although you can't preach it enough. But we need to know that when the Lord saves us, he moves us.
Yes.
And we have a change of masters. There's so much about us that is real. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins in this kingdom of his dear son. We have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And verse 16 is what I really want. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, or before means not just in time before all things, but above all things.
Yes.
He's first. He has preeminence. God is above everything. And by him all things consist. In other words, all things work the way they do because God causes it to be that way.
Yes.
Now this is what I need to know when I'm suffering for Christ's sake, is that God is always in control. I say that to myself sometimes when I see the news and I watch the way the world's going. I have to remind myself, God hasn't lost control.
No.
The earth may look like it's in chaos, but God has not lost control. You just need to make sure you stay on the winning side.
Yes.
If you stay with God, you will win. If not, you will surely lose. And this is the danger, and it's the danger that especially when we're preaching and teaching for those of us who are saved at any, wherever we're saved, whether we just got saved yesterday or whether we've been saved for, Methuselah years, the danger is when you allow your flesh to start to try and respond to flesh, flesh to flesh.
Yeah, that's a hard thing.
not responding to the spirit. Many preachers, pastors, theologians, bishops, whatever they are throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, have allowed themselves to get in the flesh in this political climate.
Yeah.
They're not in the spirit. They are in
the flesh.
Yes.
Because they're trying to pick and choose in the earth who will work things out to their desire.
Yeah.
Don't you know by now, none of us, because people, they, you know, I remember that when Obama got elected, he's the Antichrist. Don't you know we don't elect the Antichrist?
No.
And when he comes, don't you know you can't vote him out?
Right, yes.
That's true.
It's God.
It's God.
And in the interim, I'm trying to make these things happen with this person, that person's a man of God. My goodness gracious. Someone who got saved last week, no, a sinner, if they would be honest, can look at a sinner who has any knowledge of God, can look at people they call a man of God and say, that is not a man of God.
Yeah.
Because sinners say it all the time. He say, he going to the same liquor store I'm going to? You think they don't do that?
Yeah, they do.
She say, I saw her in the same bar I was in.
Mm-hmm.
So then, how do you have it so that when you have somebody who's just horrible, and everybody side up and say, this is God's man. Is this the best God can do? You need to look in the Bible and see who God has chosen during the years.
Yeah.
And see if they've chosen anybody who looks like that. Well, so how do you know that? Discernment. Either you have discernment, spiritual discernment, or you don't. And sometimes you have more than others. Some people have more than others. But it does no good to pretend that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be honest. Whether you prophesy or whether you discern or whatever you do, you need to be honest. And when you miss the spirit, you need to be honest and say, I got that wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, they ain't going to do that.
No, they ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lord told me such and such, and when it doesn't happen, you just fall silent. No, you need to say, you know, I thought that was the Spirit, but obviously it wasn't because it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And since God upholds all things by the word of his power, when God says something, it is so.
Yes. Amen.
So then when we come down to being persecuted, last one. So I'm talking about the people, not last persecution. This is Zechariah. I'm just loving this. It fits so many things. And I was looking at somebody this weekend, and I said, they really need to go read Zechariah. It's restorative. Zechariah chapter 3. And Ellen Smith, I was thinking about it the other day, because it was a situation. And it came to my mind. Zechariah is a prophet. Joshua is the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 3 and 1, Zechariah 3 and 1, talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. I told you the people are doing. Now let's look at the old, you know, folks, is injured, old slew foot. I don't know where they got that from. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, not Joshua Jericho, but Joshua, the high priest, who's going to be the high priest in the temple that's rebuilt in Jerusalem. That Joshua. Standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He showed me, he's prophesying, he's encouraging Joshua, the high priest, who God is going to clean up. And when you read this, he's going to clean him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing before the Lord, and Zechariah is prophesying. He says, the Lord showed me Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you standing before God. He says, and I saw something else. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He says, and I saw the devil standing there. And as soon as you take this job, he's going to try and accuse you, resist you, keep you from being in it. Some of the persecution and things we go through is directly because the devil tries to stop us.
Right. Yes.
You need to know the difference between the two. When you're stopping you and when the devil's stopping you.
Hmm.
Apparently, because the Spirit was speaking to me, they have been 18 years trying to build this temple.
Hmm.
18 years when they finally get it built. When you read Ezra and reading others, they stopped building. I mean, well, actually, 22 years. They stopped building for 18 years. Don't you know that when Joshua gets ready to put on this mitre, because the Lord's going to. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments in verse 3 and stood before the angel, and he answered and take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him he said, behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I'm in verse 4. Mm-hmm. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Mm-hmm. Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. He says, take away Joshua's iniquity, his wicked ways, and clean him up.
Yes.
Ordain him.
Yes.
Get him ready for service. Well, what does that mean then, Chandra? That means that Joshua in all these years has had some shortfalls and some shortcomings. Well, obviously he has, because we're taking away his iniquity.
Yeah.
And we're taking away his filthy garments.
Yes.
We're changing him and cleaning him up. You know, when the Lord starts speaking, a lot of times people tune me out. And the Lord's preparing Joshua. But look in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? He says, I have chosen him. He says, and the Lord rebukes you, and the Lord is on his side. Because every time Joshua gets up, the devil's going to do him like he does anybody with anointing. He's going to come remind Joshua how long it took him to build this temple.
Yeah.
And he's going to come and tell Joshua how many times he started and stopped. And he's going to come and tell him, how did you let the people hold you up? When it says the devil stood there to resist him, he stands to resist us.
Yes.
And to accuse us. And every time we get ready to do something in God,
yes,
he brings up all of our failings and fallings and shortfalls.
Yes.
And Joshua obviously has some failings and fallings and shortfalls, because otherwise the Lord wouldn't have had to say, take away the iniquity from him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he shows up and Satan stands there. As the Lord is sitting there anointing him, the devil is standing right there saying, you don't deserve this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've been wrong more times than you've been right.
Yeah.
You've been down more than you've been up.
Yes.
You've been sideways more than anybody I know.
Yeah.
You've been here trying to build this temple for the last 22 years. Took you long enough.
Yeah.
He's just going through. And he needs to know. And then he says, now look at yourself. Look at yourself. You don't look like a high priest. Look at you. And God says, well, make him look like one.
All right. Yeah.
I'll make him look like one.
Yeah.
Because the devil is saying to him everything he can to keep him from going. Some persecution comes directly from Satan, and he does it to keep you from going forward. He reminds you of everything that comes up short.
Yeah.
Everything that comes up short. Mm-hmm. And he's there before God, and he's just talking.
Yes.
Because when the Spirit speaks, you know the devil does, he just starts talking. Yes, he does. Anytime the Spirit is going to really bless you and give you anything, you know what the devil does? He starts talking. And he starts bringing up this and bringing up that. And you know what he does? He's trying to keep you from ever being delivered. He doesn't want you to know that God is taking away your iniquity.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to know that God is cleaning you up.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to know that God is setting you up. When he puts that mitre on his head, he's anointing him. Yes. He doesn't want you to know that God is doing all that.
Yes.
He just starts talking. Because that's what the devil does. Yes. Anytime the Lord is speaking, he just starts talking.
Yeah.
He's the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
One message I've said so many times to all of you, and I don't know if anybody listens to me or not. Sometimes I think I must be speaking in another language, and I probably am. Anytime anybody accuses you of your past, it's the devil.
Yep, that's
true. So, well, no. Sometimes the same. Anytime people accuse you of what you've asked God to forgive you of, it is the devil. Do you want me to say it again?
Yep.
Anytime people accuse you of what God has forgiven you of, it is the devil. Because God has justified you, and he has taken it away, and he has pronounced you not guilty of that. And anybody who brings it up and reminds you of it has to be the devil, because God has done away with it. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Anybody who sits around the dining room table, kitchen table, restaurant table, wherever they sit, on cruise, wherever they are, and talk among themselves about what the people have done, you are not in the spirit. You're in the flesh.
That's right. All right. Day long.
Yes.
Put it on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Zoom.
That new one Crystal was talking about.
Yeah, whatever. Put on Yik Yak, whatever it is. Put on anything. Put on anything you want. Anytime you sit around and talk about people's past failings and fallings, you are not in the spirit. When God has washed them and cleansed them and forgiven them, it can't be the Holy Ghost bringing it up, because God has done away with it.
Yes.
And you insist on bringing it up. And when you do those people wrong, you know what you're doing? You're helping them in God, because they've been persecuted for righteousness'
sake. Amen. Yeah.
You keep bringing up their path, they're being persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Yes.
And you're just like Satan standing here beside Joshua. When the Lord is trying to take him forward, you are standing there to resist and accuse him. This is what I like about the Old Testament. You're standing right there, and you notice, and the Lord says, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord says, I, the Lord, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You need to know when they're doing that, God is rebuking them. And the Lord is resisting them. And they can't be on God's side. Well, I heard this from reliable source. Well, the person who said it was so-and-so, so it must be right. I don't care who said it. If God has forgiven them of it, forgiven me of it, forgiven you of it, and they keep bringing it up, I don't care who they are. They're in the flesh when they do it. Are you saying they're not saved? I didn't say they weren't saved. I said they were in the flesh when they do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, whether they're saved or not is between them and God. But when they go there, every time you turn your ear to listen to gossip and you like hearing about it, you're in the flesh.
Yes.
Whispering, whisperers and backbiters are sinners.
Yes.
There are sins in Romans and also in Galatians. And when you listen and tune them in, you'll become a part of it and you're loving to hear it. And that's in Romans.
Yes.
So you're all just sitting there in the flesh.
Yes.
Have you heard what happened to so-and-so? You're all right there in
the flesh. Yes.
Unless you're going to give comfort and aid.
Yep. Be that a spiritual. Now, quick talk again. There you go.
You're in the flesh.
That's right.
But Brother Bill, we're taking in the fall, you that a spiritual restore such in one with meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be overtaken.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
That's what it says.
So when Peter says in this, and I'm done now, count it all joy. Think it not strange concerning the fire trial to try you. In other words, that's what the devil does. Did it to Zechariah, did it to Joshua, did it to Jesus, does it to us. But you want to make sure. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Some things the Lord will allow to come in your life, and the Lord is working it out in you. And for those trials and things, you want to glorify God for.
Yes.
Because you know what? Peter says, and he says, when you suffer as a Christian, happy are you. Because you know you haven't done anything wrong. The people, you're being tried and persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Thanks.
You're supposed to be happy about that. But if you're wrong, then it's a different story. Everybody standing. He that endureth to the end shall receive a crown of righteousness. Tonight I want to pray. I want to remember Ella Tiangela, who's not on tonight because she had her aunt's funeral today, and I hope she's doing okay. I'll ask any of you when we finish. thank God for Courtney's up today, the Gamble family. Sister Gamble, I understand, had an accident. So I thank God that you're all right and doing well. Praise God. Always good to see Elder Jenkins. And I'm not sure who the other caller is, but I thank God for you too. So praise the Lord. But I thank God that he saw us through the weekend. And we had a great weekend. I really enjoyed it. The Spirit really moved. And there was a liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Anytime you go into a service and you got the Holy Ghost and it's all bound up and wound up and, you know, it's under judgment.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's there and it keeps it under judgment, how can the Spirit flow freely in that? So I thank God for it because it was really a great occasion. I got an opportunity to go, and I pray, Lord, just bless Elvis Sewell and Sewell and keep him in the way. And I thank God for blessing all of you. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we bring to you ourselves, Lord, as your people and your church. Lord, we ask you to bless every one of us and have mercy on us. Wash us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus and keep us in Jesus' name. Lord, also, Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to remember Ella Tiangela Rogers and her family. Lord, they have many things going on, oh God, in so many different places. Lord, remember her mother. Keep the family, Lord, in the death of her aunt, oh God. Lord, remember also her father and her stepfather. Just many things going on, Lord. But Lord, you uphold all things, Lord, by the word of your power. And Father, by you, Lord, all things consist. You are able to fix all things. Lord, you're the only person who can work out everything. Lord, we in and of ourselves can solve some things, but Lord, you can solve everything. And Lord, you know what to do and how to do. And Lord, to say nothing of all the things that she goes through in her body. And Lord, she yet remains faithful. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, fellow Tiangela, you would do for her as you did for the woman who was bowed over in her body for 18 years. For Lord, you said, ought not she be loosed from this infirmity? For Lord, you said she's a daughter of Abraham. And tonight, Lord, Ella Tiangela Rogers is a daughter of Abraham. Lord, she's one who is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, for all her sufferings and her ailments, Lord, I pray, Lord, you lift her up now. And touch her and make her whole, Lord, in her body and in her mind and her spirit and comfort her. In Jesus' name. Lord, do those things, Lord, that you're able to do that no one else can do. Lord, pour out your tender mercies and your graciousness, Lord, to her and to the family and to all of them. Lord, I pray, Lord, smile upon her mother. Lord, look upon her, oh God, and cause your face to shine upon her. In Jesus' name, for all the good that she has done for Tiangela during the years, oh God. Lord, bless her now, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, she was there when nobody else was, oh Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless her in Jesus' name and keep her. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the people of God. Thank you for keeping the Gamble family safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, I thank you for watching over every one of us. And Lord, keep India tonight, Lord, for she has a lot on her mind. Lord, help her. Lord, when her mother goes through, she goes through. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just bless her tonight, Lord, and let her know, Lord, because of assurance, everything's going to be all right. Because, Lord, when you come in, you make everything all right. Lord, you make everything be all right.
Yes.
Lord, you're the God of peace and the God of comfort.
Yes.
And Father, we glorify your name. Lord, for all the others that are sick, Lord, that have any ailments or going through many things, and Lord, there are many. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch. Lord, we thank you for the miracles for Sunday, oh Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for touching Timaeus and the healing in his body, Lord.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, we can see, Lord, where the marks were on his chest, where they're not there. Lord, that's to the glory of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the ways who pray for him.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us. We thank you for the word from Elder Luckin, from all those that we receive. And we glorify your name.
Yes.
Nothing to be refused. Lord, freely you have given, freely we have received.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we ask you to just bless us and continue to lead us and guide us. Lord, add souls to our church and add souls to our lives.
Yes.
Lord, bring them in and move by the Spirit. Cause the fire to fall here, oh God.
Yes.
We'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for all the saints of God. We'll be back Friday night praising and magnifying the Lord.